Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Stephen Lawson, president of One Passion Ministries. And four times a week, I teach through a portion of Scripture to encourage you in your Christian walk. Join me now for this brief devotion in God's Word.
You have tuned into Steadfast Hope. Thank you for joining us. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck. We're coming to you from the iconic Herb's House in Dallas, Texas. You may wonder, what is Herb's House? Well, it's Herb's House. It's a coffee shop. Herb is the proprietor. He's sitting with me. And it's our joy to come to you. We are, for our devotion today, we are in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So I want you, if you can, to be turning to Acts 1, verse 8. The title of this devotion is Empowered by the Spirit. This is so needed in our lives. And let me begin by reading the verse. Jesus is the speaker. This is before his ascension back to heaven, following his resurrection. Jesus said to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." Kent, as these disciples are being sent out, they're being sent into a hostile world. They're not in the buckle of the Bible Belt. They are in the deep end of the pool. This is going to be over their head. The Roman Empire is dominant. Agnosticism, atheism, pagan religion, apostate Judaism. It's just all out there, and Christianity is just a few little specks here and there of people who were converted under the ministry of Jesus, basically. And so, how are the disciples going to reach the world for Christ and with the gospel? And in a real sense, that's the challenge you and I face, because our world is becoming darker by the moment. And how are we going to carry out the work of God with all of the agnosticism and atheism and really hostility towards Christianity that's out there? Well, we need what Jesus says here. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. So notice what Jesus says in Acts 1, verse 8. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." This word power in the original language comes into the English language as dynamite. It's the Greek word dunamis. And we're not talking about just a little power. I mean, we are talking about earth-shaking power, explosive power that's far greater than any resistance we would ever face. And he says, "You will receive power," which is strength and might, to carry out God's will for our lives. He says, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, Kent, we could put it this way. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate power broker. I mean, he is the one who releases the power of God in us to resist temptation, to put to death the deeds of the flesh, to love people who are difficult to love, to have courage and boldness in witnessing, to serve others, to assume a posture of humility. All of this, it is the Spirit of God who lives within us, is releasing this power that's far greater than anything we will face. And the forces of darkness all around us. And I think of 1 John 4, verse 4, in which John writes, "Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." And so God and the devil are not two superpowers of equal power, and there is this tug of war going on. God is the Almighty, and he indwells us. And so we have sufficient resources available to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And he says, here he tells us how we're to use this power, Kent. He says, "You shall be my witnesses," which means to bear testimony for Christ. and to speak to others about Christ. And it was so dangerous, Kent, that this word for witness, do you see it? It actually comes into the English language as martyr, martus in the Greek. And it was almost synonymous in the first century that if you're a witness for Christ, you're probably going to end up being a martyr for Christ. And it was true for 11 out of the 12 of the disciples. And so there was a high price for them to pay. And we're kind of back to square zero on that in the day in which we live. And we're not all the way there, but we're getting closer. And so he says, you shall be my bold, courageous, loving, but heroic witnesses. And notice where this is to start. He says, both in Jerusalem. Well, time out. That's where they crucified Jesus. That's where the greatest resistance from apostate Judaism was. And Jesus is saying to them, you'll have the power you need to be a witness for me in the darkest, most difficult places to speak up for me. You will be empowered to do that. That should encourage us, because some of our listeners have difficult jobs and difficult offices, have difficult parents, difficult in-laws, difficult neighbors. The Holy Spirit's greater, and he will empower us. And then he says, and in all Judea and Samaria, well, that's just more of the same. Those were difficult places. And then he says, even to the remotest part of the earth. Well, in that day, that was Rome, where the headquarters of the Roman Empire was. So the Holy Spirit, here we see really the sufficiency of the Holy Spirit to empower us to be a witness for Christ. So Kent, I went a little bit longer, but you and I need to talk about this.
Well, that's great. So Steve, as we see this and the Holy Spirit indwelt these apostles, disciples, this is the same Holy Spirit, you could clarify, that indwells us, the same power.
Absolutely. There is no diminishing of the fullness of the Spirit that was in them. There's no diminishing of his presence in us.
Right.
Because, again, you don't get it. We do not have a lesser Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and he is omnipresent. So wherever he is there in the fullness of all that he is. He doesn't leave half of himself in heaven.
Yeah.
He shows up in the fullness of all that he is. Now, there are some places and in some believers where he manifests that power to a greater measure. But nevertheless, the fullness of the Spirit is wherever the Holy Spirit is, and the Holy Spirit is omnipresent.
Right. So, Steve, I think the second question that comes to mind that I think a lot of our viewers are thinking, like all things God gives us, many times they're twisted. The truth is twisted.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think here with the Holy Spirit, the truth is often twisted and misunderstood.
Yeah.
And I think one of the questions is, how do we know when it's the Holy Spirit in our lives or in someone else's life and not just their own spirit or their own desires?
Yeah. Kent, you just ask the unanswerable question. Yeah, no, we can know, and it's not as easy as what I'm about to say. Everything has to square with Scripture.
Right.
And if you are doing something or saying something or reacting in a way mm-hmm. that it doesn't square with Scripture, mm-hmm. you can know that is not the Holy Spirit. That is your flesh. That is the world, that is the devil, but that's not the Holy Spirit. Because everything that the Holy Spirit does lines up with the Holy Scripture.
Right.
Of which he is the author. So the plumb line
right.
by which everything is measured is what does the Bible mm-hmm. say? Mm-hmm. Now, I realize that's a simple answer, but it's a true and profound answer. And so that necessitates that we know what's in the Bible. Yeah. And if you don't know much of the Bible, you're going to have trouble sorting out, was that me? Was that my flesh? You're going to have trouble.
So is that one of our problems then, Steve, is that we really don't know the Bible as we should?
Yeah.
And many of us, we're deceived because we think the Bible teaches this or we think this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not true.
There are so many well-intended people who attend churches where the word is not really preeminent and is not really taught. It's just a very light treatment of Scripture that doesn't really expound it and exposit it and open it up. And so, therefore, the people who sit under that kind of a ministry are going to be very limited mm-hmm. in their discernment mm-hmm. Of whether or not, as I respond to things in life, is this really God at work in my life?
And so how does that play out in their life?
Yeah, well, they're also without the sanctifying power mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit. And so they're really like a boat that's been untied from the dock. They're going to be drifting with the current of this world and being conformed to the mindset of this world, even if they don't realize it. They're like the frog in the kettle. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are just progressively adopting a secular mindset because they don't have the anchor point, the cornerstone, the Word of God, mm-hmm. by which they can attach themselves to. Mm-hmm. So, Kent, once again, thank you for your questions and for the ability to be able to talk about this in a more practical way. I want to say thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. This is intended to be a devotion, and if you want more teaching in the Word, I would encourage you to go to the Bible study that's on our app with One Passion, because we've been going verse by verse through Romans, and you talk about getting sound doctrine. We have spelled it out there, so that would be a good resource for you to have. Blessings to you in Christ, be in His Word. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Steadfast Hope. If this was helpful to your Christian walk, please leave us a review wherever you listen to this show. And if you want to connect on social media, I can be found at Dr. Stephen J. Lawson or at One Passion Ministries. Thank you for listening, and I hope you will join me again for the next episode of Steadfast Hope.